For those who don't know me, I am Kate McKnight, and I have done this study for 18 years. And so whenever Kathy has poured so much into my life, and so it just means so much to get to, doesn't mean a lot, but it's sweet to say yes to her, someone that has really taught me so much over the years. And so if you're new, I think we have a few new people today. We are talking on waiting on God. And the one thing that's really hit me the most in this series is this. Y'all, if we don't trust the person that is asking us to wait, then it's going to be a lot of dread and why am I doing this and what's going on. And the one thing I've loved is, if you haven't been here in the past, we talked on Psalm 27. And I love David in this psalm because the first part of the psalm is so much of life. The first part of the psalm is like David's like picture. I mean, picture whatever is your picture if life could be this way. David is just rejoicing because his picture is there. So and what does he do? He turns to the Lord and he's like, you are such a good God. Thank you, Lord. And then it's like his picture shifts. Something happens. The call comes in. The kid throws up. The kid has a bad attitude. And he's now questioning God. Where are you, God? What are you doing? And I'm such a visual person. And so the other day, this happened in my life, and it's been a sweet thing for me to think through when God calls us to wait. My husband, I mean, I feel like every story of waiting is the DMV, but this happens to deal with the DMV. But my husband said, Kate, it's time to go get the star ID. And he called me. He's like, can you meet me? Can I pick you up? Can we go get the star ID? And I just, okay, let's go get our star ID. And he goes, we're going to go to the Bessemer Courthouse. This is like so easy. We're going to go to the Bessemer Courthouse. And I'm thinking, no one's going to be there. Who goes to the Bessemer Courthouse? It's going to be the right time of day. He's an attorney, so he knows the times that you want to go. And so we get there, and it is like, y'all picture, it is like you wait down this row, and then it goes row of people. And we sit down, and I looked at him like, we're not doing this. And he's like, we have driven to Bessemer. We're going to wait for the star ID. And he's such a black and white personality. And so he does the math. He's like, okay, I just timed that person. It takes them 5 minutes to get the star ID. There's one person working there. Times 40 people here. Kate, it's going to take us 2.5 hours. And I'm like, we're not doing this. And he's like, we're here. And you know, then he looks at me. He's like, well, what do you have today? And I'm like, I mean, nothing. You know. So here we are. We're going to do this. We're going to wait. And y'all, this is a silly analogy, but hear me say this. On row one, we analyze maybe a kid. On row two, we talked through what we're going to do for spring break. On row three, we, you know, laughed about something funny that happened the night before. Y'all, we finally got that star ID. And when I look back on that day, it was less about the star ID and it was more about the time I got to spend with my husband. Y'all, what if waiting is less about the thing we're waiting for and more about the time we're going to spend with God? Does that make sense? And I look back at that random cheesy analogy I've given you, but it was a really sweet time that I got 2.5 hours with my husband. That was rare. That was unique. We solved a lot of problems. Y'all, what if we start to view our waiting seasons as sweet time from the Lord?
Yeah.
Okay, so I love that today, we're going to focus on today. And it's so fun when, you know, I feel like I'm such a person that if someone says, well, do this, I'm like, well, just give me the 1, 2, 3s of how to do it. Well, today, Kathy is going to teach us. Kathy writes these letters, lessons, by the way. Today, we're going to have something we can do. Today, we're going to shift your focus onto the thing, not onto the thing we're waiting for, but we're going to shift our focus onto the Lord. Instead of the prize that we're waiting for, instead of the decision, instead of the kid to change, we're going to focus on God. And we're going to focus today on Psalm 37, 7 through 9. It's on your page. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Y'all, this is the part we're going to talk about. It says, rest in the Lord. The biblical meaning of rest is to be silent, to be still, tarry, or wait. It says in Psalm 62, let all that I am wait quietly before God. Y'all, for most of us, rest and wait and being still doesn't come easy. I am someone who I love a to-do list. I love appointments. I love 20 times to spend with my friends. I love to go till the point of exhaustion. And if you're in this room, you know me well. You know that is me. And people used to say to me, Kate, my verse for you is be still and know that I am God. And I would be like, oh. Because I think I thought it meant in my immature Christianity that it meant I was supposed to cancel every appointment and just sit on the couch. And that was kind of my worst nightmare. But y'all, what if stillness is a mindset shift? And to me, to surrender what stillness looks like is this. It's handing over my list of to-dos, my list of worries, and it's giving that to the Lord and walking about my day and all my appointments in peace, because he's got the list and I get rest and stillness. So it's a mindset shift, y'all. It becomes a way I enter in the rest of that. Okay, Psalm 73:8 says, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge. Y'all, next we're going to talk about, look at verse 7 in this. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. I love it when we do this, but let's look at wait. That word in the Greek means whole, H-U-L. And it's kind of, it says that she said it sounds like the word whole. Y'all, this word is used often, and the Strong's concordance of it is says translated as this, to whirl, to dance, to travail, or to give birth, to writhe in pain. Y'all, those words, those three different things are very, very dissimilar, but I love what each one meaning says. Each meaning of those words is a mental focus you have to have to accomplish it. Let's think about a ballerina trying to dance. Remember how the teacher would always say, focus on one thing on the wall in order to get that twirl. If you're doing this and trying to twirl, you're never going to make it all around. I don't really know. I'm not really a ballerina. And then to give birth. Y'all, a lot of us in here have given birth. Think about it. If I looked at that machine that was telling me, I always thought of it like a mountain, that was like, oh my God, here comes the contraction. And then you're like, if I was looking at that machine, anxiety came. But if I focused on, I'm about to have a baby, I'm giving life. If that was my focus, I was able to focus on that part. And then the last one is this, to writhe in pain. I have a child who gets really scared of needles. And so what do? I look at him and I say, hey, look at me. Don't look at the needle. Y'all, that's how we rest well. If we take our focus and put it on the Lord and not on the thing, then the peace comes. I love this analogy. It's not on your page, but I thought of it. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke. But it's when the storm came out. Remember the disciples? They're getting in the boat. And the storm came. Jesus is in the boat with them. He's invited them into the boat. It's kind of like I see the boat as life. And Jesus falls asleep in the boat. And the disciples are out looking out. And they're not looking at Jesus, and they're looking it out. And what happens? A storm rolls in. The call comes in. The child misbehaves. Whatever is your storm, that's what they're focused on. And guess what happens when they see that storm? Fear. Anxiety. But when they turn and they look to Jesus in the boat, he says one thing, why are you looking at the storm? Look to me. And when they look to him, he calms the storm. And that analogy in my mind is such a reminder of what we're called to do as we wait. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. I praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness, for your promises are backed up by all the honor of your name. So y'all, let's take a minute to listen. I love that Kathy does this. It's kind of just a pause in our day. And so I'm going to ask, Lord, would you give us a minute? Lord, give us a minute here to let your spirit search our heart and reveal what in your life is your actual focus on. Where in your life is your focus on right now? And you can write that down. You can think about it. Are any of these things distracting you from fixing your eyes on the Lord or preventing you from resting in him as you wait? And last one, how would your life, your inner and outer life, be different if you were to rest in God and patiently on Him to do the work? Okay, y'all, and as Kathy always says, these are great things in your week to go back on and spend time in prayer with the Lord about these things. So next we're going to talk about if we're going to stay focused on God, well, how are we going to do that? And we're going to talk about a subject, y'all, and I feel so humble talking about this subject because it's not what I always do. And it's talking about listening to the Lord. And I can admit that my one thing that when the storm comes in or when the thing happens, my biggest thing I do is I don't stop and listen to God. I love to pick up the phone. I love to call wise counsel. I love to analyze it. I love to process it on a walk. I love to complain to my husband. But I think the key that what she's about to teach us, y'all, is if we'll stop and listen, then I think that we'll avoid a lot of chaos. Trust me. Okay, so let's look at Psalm. This is my favorite passage. Let's look at Proverbs 3. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Y'all, this goes back to the initial thing I said in the beginning. That's the first thing. Do I trust God? Do I trust God? Because if I remember one, trust God, guess what it says? It says, don't try to figure everything out on your own, Kate. Listen, under that word, learn that word, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go, and He is the one that will keep you on track. Y'all, that is a slam dunk verse for life. It's telling us to trust God, listen to His voice, and He's going to keep us on track. Three things, simple things. Except it's not as easy as it says. So our deliberate purpose is merely not reacting to what happens in life, but pausing to listen. So here she's going to teach us, and this is something that Kathy teaches us over time, and that's why we do have, this blue sheet that was given to you, the blue sheet. And it's a model, y'all. What is she's asking us to do is to take a verse, find a verse for my situation. I am anxious or I am waiting for this decision. So whatever it is, study God's word. Y'all, we're going to wait with our Bibles open. We're going to listen with our Bibles open because that's what we're believing of how God is going to speak to us. And so I even think in this day and age, I like to cut corners too. And I like to say, God, I feel fearful. And God, will you give me verses on fearful? And here comes a list of verses in my ChatGPT. And there it is. And whatever that verse is that comes that just sticks out to you, that's going to become your verse for your situation. And this, when you study that blue shirt sheet later on, it can be like you go over that verse and over that verse and over that verse. And that is what you focus on instead of the worry, the fear, the weight. And so we're going to take a passage of scripture and we're going to claim that verse over our circumstances. He wants us to, I love this verse in Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in your innermost being. Y'all, he wants that truth, not the situation. He wants the truth to go deep of his word in our innermost being. And in the hidden part, you will make known wisdom. We look at that verse above our situation. So now I love this. I like it when Kathy does this for us because I think it's another reminder of how God's word speaks to us every day. But she's going to give us this story in 2 Chronicles 2, and I'll just kind of I'll paraphrase it for us as we listen to what happens. And this is a person in the Bible that does waiting well. In 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat is faced with many battles. He is the king of Judea. And it's kind of like all of a sudden he's sitting there and this word comes in that the armies are coming larger than he could even imagine or fathom are coming to overtake his country. And I love this. The first thing he does, it scripture says, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He looked to the Lord first and not his picture. He didn't pick up the phone and call anybody. He didn't race around in fear. He stopped and he looked to the Lord when he heard the armies were coming. Next, he called the entire nation to fast and to pray. Men and women and children stood before God powerless, yet hopeful. And Jehoshaphat prayed one of the most honest prayers, y'all, and I love this verse. How many times can we say this verse? Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I'm paraphrasing, y'all. This is not on your sheet. And so all of a sudden, God answered, and he answered through this prophet that came his way, and this is what he said. He said, the Lord of hosts says these things. Hey, Jehoshaphat, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. The next morning, y'all, instead of warriors, instead of him sending out this whole entire army of warriors that he trained, he sent people out to worship on the battlefield. He worshiped and they gave thanks to the Lord. They screamed that his love endures forever, and confusion broke out, complete confusion on the battlefield. And before he knew it, the victory was already won. They didn't fight, they worshiped. They didn't strive, they stood firm. And God fought for them. And y'all, this is my favorite part. Not only did they win the battle, but guess what happened? 3 days later, they were gathering up blessings from the battle, treasures and plunder. I like that word. I've never heard of it before, but plunder, meaning treasures. And they took it all to the valley, and the valley became known as the Valley of Blessing. So y'all, what an example in the Bible of a man who did waiting well. So let's look. Kathy's going to give us, and I'm not going to go through every one of these, but we're going to go through exactly what Jehoshaphat did in some areas. The first one really stands out to me. He got the news, he got the wait, and he chose to be still and wait on God. He chose to just take his situation immediately to the Lord. It says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself out to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judea. So Judea gathered together to ask for help from the Lord. Y'all, they knew where their help had come from. They knew it wasn't going to come from a mighty, mighty army. They knew it was going to come from the Lord. And that brings us to our second one, where it says, hold God and his attributes above your circumstances. And what comes to mind to me is like blasting that song of like, he's a way maker, he's a miracle worker, and he's a promise keeper. Y'all, in that moment, they weren't feeling it, they weren't seeing it, but they were calling on the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. They weren't believing in what they could see, they were believing in the attributes of the Lord. Where are we doing that in our life? Where are we taking our, what we can see as belief, instead of who we are worshiping? And on down, I love that their intense focus was on God and through earnest biblical prayer. And I love that the Lord's answer was, hey, this is not your battle. This battle belongs to mine. That to me is such an example of surrender. God, will you take my battle? Will you take my weight? That's the same thing that goes into depend upon God to work on our behalf as we wait, to surrender your agenda, to surrender your plans. Jehoshaphat, I mean, isn't it so like God to not just go out and be like, okay, train up a bunch of army and go out there and I'm going to train your army for you. He did it different. Doesn't he usually take our battles and do them differently than our minds can imagine or fathom? He sent out worshipers, and the worship is what's caused confusion and what allowed him to win. And then the last one, y'all, this is my favorite one. Wait and see God's goodness in the land of the living. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amount of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it all. Y'all, the plunder for us, maybe it is going to be some prizes in the gold, but the plunder, what if the plunder is a stronger faith, more eyes to see, listening to the Lord, God giving you a word? Doesn't that build your faith? The plunder and the wait is the goodness of the Lord that is going to come as we wait. Maybe not in your circumstance, but maybe in your faith. And that's the plunder that's promised in this story. I'd like some diamonds as well, but okay, so let's fuel our faith by observing that the way that God acts on our behalf. I love this Romans passage. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Y'all, how many times do I look at my hope and my encouragement? I have a house of three teenagers. If I'm looking for my hope and encouragement come from one of them to grow up today, I'm going to be pretty disappointed every single day. What if the scriptures gave me my hope and encouragement over outward things? Does that make sense? And so that's why we want to listen well in our situations of waiting. Okay, so let's enter into a time of listening. Are you currently practicing times of stillness to listen to God's voice? If not, why? Is there an area where you are waiting on God that you need to shift your focus from the circumstances to the truth about who God is? And lastly, where are you on devoting time to praise the Lord? Okay, so now we're going to talk about, we're going to enter in a time of my testimony. But I really do want you to think about, in this time of waiting, what am I going to fix my eyes on? And who am I going to listen to? There are a lot of voices out there that can give you even sound things. But am I really going to focus in that waiting time on the Lord? So if I do have an older son. A bunch of you in this room are about to shut down and roll their eyes. And like, if she has to talk about her older son one more time, I might lose it. But I do have an older son who's 18. Just like Kathy has Jackson, this kid, Lawson, has just kind of been my what's driven me to the Lord many times in life. And I want to say this before I give this story because I want to give proper place to it. Y'all, this is a story of what's going on in our family. And compared to, and we don't need to compare, but compared to like a lot of your waiting and a lot of your suffering, this is, I hear that this is little s suffering, but it is what's going on in our family. And so compared to Kathy's like major suffering, it doesn't really compare, but it, like I said, it is our story. So I love that we have been focusing on Psalm 27, like I told you, because the first part of the psalm is a reminder that we all have sweet seasons of life. I mean, don't we? And y'all, we need to rejoice in those sweet seasons of life. And so Lawson has played football ever since he has been in seventh grade, and he loves football. And the fun part of where we are now is that we've played with all these families all these years. And so here we've been in our sweet season from August until about the end of September, and it has been awesome. He is a senior now, and he's getting to play. And And in this sweet season, Tom and I are just become like the biggest Spartan fans. Like when you become a senior, you get like a mom jersey. So I had my mom jersey ready. And our day was filled with just fun. All these things were happening as school began. We were like drinking the Kool-Aid of Mountain Brook football. Lawson was voted captain. Lawson was playing on both sides of the field. And Tom comes home early on Friday night. And we get ready and we go to meet all the senior parents and pregame before the meal. And then for the game, and then Lawson would always call after the game, and he and Tom would talk on the phone and discuss what plays went right and what went wrong. And Tom, I'd always wake up to Tom, like, working on his highlight videos. Hear me say, this was, like, too much of an idol addiction going on in our family. But what happened, and also in this season, what's sweet about this season is that we have this thing called mom prayer. And every Friday before the game, we would go and have prayer as moms and pray for the boys before the game. Sweet, cheesy, but it really ended up being a sweet time. And we had one of my favorite speakers come a few weeks ago. And his name is Donald Clayton, and he was the principal at Mountain Brook High School. And he said these two things. He was here to talk about identity, about that our boys have so much more of an identity than they do in football. And he said, moms, I believe if you were here today and I told you and Jesus was standing there and you had two buttons to push in life, one would be, your child's going to work out just like you want them to work out, and everything's going to work out the way you want the plan to go. Or the other button was going to be like, Jesus is writing their story. They're going to become the kid that I want them to become. It might have some heart in it. It might have some sadness in it, but they're going to become who I made them to be. He's like, I guarantee every time because you're here, you push the button that I want them to become the way God wants them to become. And I was going, yeah, I'm going to push that button. I want them to become the way God wants them to become. And so we're entering into we're entering into the Oxford game. And we have lost two games, so the momentum is down. And our star running back has gone out. And so guess who gets to play running back? He normally plays defense, is Lawson. And so we're just in this game. And he goes down after one of the first touchdowns, and he's holding his shoulder, and I'm thinking, we deal with shoulder issues. He's fine. And we win the game, and he scored some touchdowns and made some runs, and it was an awesome game. And halfway through the game, he looked at me and pointed. It was just one of those sweet moments. And the next day, we wake up. We do that fun Friday night thing. We wake up, and he says, Mom, my shoulder's really bothering me. And I said, oh, I bet you'll be fine. I'll bet you'll be fine. He said, well, the trainer's made me an appointment at 4 o'clock. And I said, great. And so I'm on the phone with Kathy, and we're talking through the lesson because I am about to teach the lesson that week. And I said, hold on, Kathy. Tom and Lawson are calling. They've just had their appointment. And Tom says, hey, Kate. He says, the shoulder's broken. And Lawson says, Mom, my season's over. And I said, no, we're not doing that. And I hung up the phone after just talking to Kathy, and I sat, and y'all, a little bit of the obsession I was in of riding this train of fun, I got on my knees like Jesus in the garden, and I said, Lord, please don't take football from this boy. Please don't take football. It's going to be so hard. And you know what I heard in my hand? I heard, Kate, we've got two buttons. We've got the button where he's going to go, and he's going to score a bunch of touchdowns for the next 4 weeks, and it's going to be fun, and you're going to ride that train. Or we've got the button that I'm training him. I'm in charge of his life, and I'm the one that's going to decide the story, and I'm the one that's going to make him into the man that I want him to be. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to push that button. But then I called on the Lord, because Kathy and I just talked about this verse. It's not like I'm like Kathy in a verse. And I said, Jesus, but you say in your word, I would have despaired if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I said, God, promise me, this season seems so hard for that kid, but promise me that I will see your goodness. And so just like Jehoshaphat did, I went to the Lord. And so that Saturday, when my son, or 75-pound boy, it was in the fetal position, and asking me just to pray, and we didn't know what to do as he cried, that was the goodness of God, y'all. The next day at the Andrews Clinic, when we walked in to go to the doctor's appointment, and the seventh grade football coach is walking out of the door and just grabs my son and hugs him. That was the goodness of God, y'all. the night before surgery, his sister comes in, and she has tears in his eyes, and she says, I'm so worried about Lawson. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know you had a relationship, Lawson. And she said, Mom, can I go to surgery with y'all the next day? And I said, yeah. And she came. Y'all, that was the goodness of God. And then this season, sometimes when you have big events like this, my mom passed away when I was 21, and sometimes Tom couldn't come to surgery that day because of his work schedule. And sometimes you just kind of want someone there, and my sister shows up and sits with me for 4 hours, y'all. That was the goodness of God. And the next week, he became captain of the game, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there watching the game with different eyes this week. And a friend sends me a picture, and I look over, and Lawson is praying over the kid who had gone down and was injured. Y'all, that was the goodness of God right there. And then when we had our moment that I biggest feared last Saturday, when he did the screw it mentality, you know, those mentalities when you're just like teenagers, it's, if you don't have them yet, it's really ugly, but screw this world, and I'm not doing this, and he's just in that ugly teenager mindset. And the tears come flowing down me, and it's a Sunday morning, and he leaves and just leaves in his car. And I'm like, oh, God, where's he going? Because you can't control him when they're 18. And he gets in his car, and I watch him on Life 360. And he went to Church of the Highlands on his own. And I'm like, okay, he's in church, Lord. And I thought, well, I'll turn on the sermon to see what at least he's listening to. His tears are flooding down my eyes. And the pastor says, we're in a Goodness of God series. And today is all about redeeming our broken places. Y'all, that was the goodness of God. And so I want to say this too. Like, I'm still waiting. He took a 2.5-hour nap yesterday, y'all. He doesn't nap. It's not a pretty picture. It's not. But I can't put my focus on a happy kid right now, or it'll take me down every single day. My focus has to be on my verse, just like she said, for I would have despaired if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of living, in my new season of waiting. And I don't know why I'm waiting. I don't know what it's going to look like. It might be years down the road till I understand why we walk through this season. But it's not just about my child, y'all. It's about me. It's about releasing my picture and trusting the goodness of God every day for his life and for mine. And so I'm going to end with this verse that says, my new verse. It says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. So God, we thank you so much that you promise in all of our rough places that you want to make them smooth. We thank you when our picture is not there, when our circumstances are long-suffering, when our waiting feels too hard, Lord, that you say we can see your goodness. Lord, would you do that for my friends today, especially for Kathy? Would you give her the goodness of God today in her waiting? And Lord, I pray today that every one of these words would just fall on our spirits, that our spirits would be changed as we wait, as we receive holy words from you, to walk this long and hard path of this earth. In your name we pray. Amen.